Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. Thanks for listening. Heavy Hinges has just released their third album entitled Lonely, a collection of songs full of passion and strength that are as universal as they are personal. They still sustain that sublime ruckus that endeared them to me 4 years ago when I first heard Mean Old City. This time, I was fortunate to have them stop by the WVXU studios to talk about the band and to play two tracks off the new album. As you listen, you'll discover, as I did, the closeness and camaraderie the five members of Heavy Hinges have with each other. Their friendship and openness can be heard in how they talk about each other and in their ability to finish each other's sentences. Heavy Hinges, thanks for being in the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I wanted to take a second, if you could, just go around the table and introduce yourselves.
My name is Dylan Spieg, and I play guitar and do backup singing.
My name is Maya Banatwala, and I play lead vocals, lead singing, and ukulele.
I'm Kirk Hunter, I play guitar.
Andrew Lauderman, I play bass guitar.
Brian Williamson, drums.
Again, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. You guys have been longtime supporters and fans of WVXU.
We were mostly excited when you did a really good review of us on our first album. And, it's just always fun to hear people get opened up to different ideas and views. And a lot of times they have bands on that normally wouldn't get a chance to be on. And we like the wide spectrum, and then also you get news and stuff like that. Like it there.
Well, this has given me an opportunity to go back and listen to Mean Old City again and reappreciate some of those songs I haven't heard in a while. And it still holds up. It's still really good.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've also taken part in several, I guess, if not all, of the NPR Tiny Desk contests.
Yeah. We try to
do it every year.
Yeah, and it's funny because usually when the band that wins, like when we see it, I'm like, well, that was pretty awesome. So,
we don't hold a grudge.
Yeah, like I'm not going to be mad at it. I'm definitely of the mindset that if somebody does something awesome, I'm like, oh, we need to do that.
Like, and it's just fun to do. It's just fun to do anyway, just to kind of participate in the whole thing. It's just a cool idea for lots of bands to kind of do a kind of behind the scenes quick, you know, no frills version of themselves. You kind of see the behind the curtain kind of thing. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You often refer to yourselves with terms like mess, ruckus. Are you just being self-deprecating, or is that really how you feel about the band?
No, I mean, we work really hard.
Yeah. Well, we do work hard to kind of make sure we got our stuff together, but we do also kind of work hard to make sure it still feels kind of loose and real.
Yeah.
and rough around the edges.
Yeah, and I definitely want it to not be overly polished. And I try to think what are our strengths and lean on those. And I would say not polished. Although it's funny because sometimes people will be, you know, say, oh, you guys are really clean or quiet. And I was like, that's funny because I think it's like, you know, it could be rougher to me. Like, you know, when we say mess, I usually think we mean like we're all bringing different things to the table. So Maya listens to a lot of, like, she'll turn me on to a lot of bands that I hadn't heard before. And, you know, Brian will say, have you heard this or something like this? So it's not like we all five have the same exact favorite
yeah.
band. And
lots of music interest. Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, like we'll bring in a song and it'll be real like basic and I'll be like, okay, so should we make it fancier? And like Kirk was like, no, let's keep it stripped down, you know. So that's definitely cool that we like to kind of make sure that we keep it simple,
kind of distilled. We'll take
yeah.
you know, sometimes
distilled,
we'll catch
nice
ourselves kind of trying to get too cute with something, you know, an arrangement or something. It's fun to have a little wrinkle here and there, but we do try to keep it, kind of distill it down to what the song purely is and what, you know, we're trying to do with the melody or whatever. And
never
just
makes the song good. That's what, yeah. There's no ego here.
Yeah, at the end, when we're finished writing a song, we'll kind of look up at each other and be like, that sounds pretty songy.
Do you ever have an idea and you approach it and then you play it live a few times and realize, okay, we need to change the direction or add this part or take this part out?
I don't think so.
No, we work on the song for a while.
Yeah, by the time we debut it, it's what we want it to be, I think. There might be some subtle things here and there that just organically come out, but it is more or less 98% what it is by the time we play it out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we'll play it a little bit different. Like, I just from playing the song, I get better at it, or I do something a little bit different. Or yeah. I was like, ooh, this harmony sounds better.
Yeah, it definitely breathes
like a
little bit.
Detail,
but
yeah.
We don't mess around with much arrangements or anything after the fact.
And I don't feel like anybody, we have a lot of ego in the band. Like, usually everybody just wants what's best for the song. And I usually tell Maya she needs to act like more of a prima donna, like if we're doing sound checks, just because I think then the sound man will boost her vocals up a little bit or something. But I don't get, nobody, we don't really have arguments like that or anything like that.
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of bands do approach their live shows as sort of a lab in which to experiment with new ideas or try things out, where it sounds like you guys have everything pretty well germinated and polished and ready to go before you even present it to your audience.
Well, I mean, I think also, I just try to think, if I was going to a show, what do I want to see? And I feel like if people come see us, they could have done anything on their Friday night. So they said, I'm going to get a sitter maybe, or took time, got in a car, drove to see us. So I feel like we owe it to them to try to give them the best product that we can,
Yeah, and I feel like when we're very happy with it and it's more together and ready to be performed, I feel like we're just going to kill it even more, because it's like that confidence is going to be there, especially for me.
The energy kind of feeds on itself, and then at the end we're like, whoa, that was more than the sum of its parts,
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a live show that stands out where you were just like, this is the most amazing show we've ever played?
No.
One in particular.
I mean, we play pretty fun shows. When we played at that with Kirk in the band, I felt like when we played that one Monday at
the Comet,
it was
so
funny
good.
Because I feel like you could tell that the five of us were coming together and like working on the new material.
Every time we have a couple new to debut, we're like, yeah!
Yeah, there's always a little extra heightened energy when we've got a new song, because we're psyched about it, and it's, we feel like it's ready to go, and that's always an extra little bump.
We try not to overextend ourselves as well, I would say. Honestly, whatever show I'm about to play is the one I'm most excited about. So I get really excited, but I'm so always like thinking about like I'm already thinking about what our July show is going
to
be and stuff like that. So everything is the next day, So I'm not a very nostalgic person.
Yeah, Dylan's a windshield guy, not a rearview mirror guy.
God, no. Yeah, I'm just cutting people off.
I know the band comes from some origins that you speak of, that you were all going through some pretty rough times personally. Do you feel like sharing any of that?
When the band came together, me and Maya were actually working together, and our friends, my friend Justin Jeffrey from 98 Degrees, was like, that waitress out there is hilarious. She's like making up songs.
I've never been a waitress, by the way.
Oh, you're a bartender. But that's what he thought. But, so he was like, she's making up songs and stuff like that. So when my other band fell apart, I asked her, I was like, do you want to form a band with us? But then my dad died, before I was getting the band together.
Yeah. And he asked me when I was going through, a rough time. But my dad died. My dad was killed. And so that was a really hard time. So putting this band together was, going through a whole mess of stuff. And this was a really good outlet.
Kind of cathartic.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what Mean Old City became?
Absolutely. Yeah, because we were together for a while before we put that out, but I think it was a few months after I lost my dad, we got together.
Yeah, and then I also thought it was interesting that we wanted to start from something new, so we learned a bunch of old-timey gospel songs just to play something that none of us really had a background in. And it was kind of fun. And then I would listen to a lot of prison chants from Library of Congress. And I was like, let's get a darker tone without being a metal band like that. So just try to get that kind of subject matter. But it's funny because we're very upbeat people and not I say serious about what we're doing, but not.
I'm pretty sweet depressing.
Yes.
that's how I would describe myself. Yeah.
But
yeah.
we don't have a Walking on Sunshine in our catalog.
No.
No.
Yet.
Yet. Our upbeat songs are definitely very dark.
Tell me about your second album.
It was kind of, I mean, it's sort of like a middle child, you know,
yes.
Like this one's got an identity and the first one had an identity and the middle one was kind of like, it doesn't have as much of a solid identity as the first one and the new one do. It was a little bit more of a between kind of a thing. I really like all the material on it. And I think it sounds great, but it's a little bit more of a multi-personality type of
Well, you could
feel.
Also tell, like, some of the songs were written really early, mm-hmm. and then some, you know, then you could tell we were, like, kind of changing up the direction that we were going as well. I like that album, too, though. I'm real proud of
the material.
Yeah,
but, yeah, that's weird. Yeah, because we still have, like, a little bit of, like, the gospel stuff on that one. And this new one, I feel like is our... you know, like, we really stirred the stew and,
yeah.
You know, like, we kind of know what kind of band we are exactly.
Well, before we get too far into talking about the new album, Lonely, let's listen to the title track. This is Lonely by Heavy Hinges.
Thank you.
Tell me a bit about the production and the recording process that you went through to create this new album, Lonely.
We'd go in and set up all in the same room except Brian. You know, he's in his in the drum room, but we can see him. And we get the best sound we can out of our instruments, and we perform. And generally, Brian nails the song within the first three takes. And we try to play as, you know, solid as we can. And when the take that we use, whoever played well on that pass, which is hopefully all of us, we just go with it and keep all the live tracks. And then if someone, you know, maybe screwed up one note, you go back and punch that in. But generally speaking, that's mostly live. And then we go back and do some, you know, solos and stuff. But we try to keep a live feel by just recording everything on that initial take.
And my parts are so rudimentary that I only had to do two things over this time. Like, everything was just what I played when Brian was playing, but in fairness, I'm not really doing all that much. So I tried to write my parts so they were hard to mess up because I'm so frugal. I was like, oh, I don't want to have to go back in and do this. So I'm always thinking like monetarily probably. So I was like, let's write this because I know let's not have a lot of pinky stuff in there. And but it keeps it kind of that raw feeling.
Yeah,
too,
it's also kind of part of your particular style too. It's just,
yeah, if it was up to me, we would just record into a big cone and put out 78s and like I'll be like, I hope that was good, I don't know, tell me about it. Like Andrew and Brian are definitely much more the polishers and like to like do stuff like that, and I was like, it sounds amazing. I'm easily rocked.
Where was it recorded?
Audio Grotto in Newport.
Same place you recorded your other albums?
Yep. Yeah. All three.
Who did the engineering and all that?
Matt Huneman.
We've kind of grown to trust him more and more over the past three records, right? And then, so now, he plays keyboards and guitar, too. So if he's mixing down there and we're not even there and he thinks it could use, like, some vibraphone or whatever, he'll just do some stuff and we're like, cool. You know, whereas the first time he'd kind of be like, what do you guys think about this? Mm-hmm. And we're
now he's just much more of a George Martin now.
Yeah, you know, like, now he just sort of does it and we're like, awesome, that's great. You know.
So you've developed a relationship and built a trust.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
I think that can add so much to an experience. And just having someone that you trust on the other side of the controls, knowing that they know how you sound, and then knowing that they will get to that sound, I think it makes everything better, makes your performance better, makes your attitude better.
That kind of sense of worry is kind of off your plate, clears up a lot of bandwidth in your brain just for like performance and just putting the best thing down.
He knows what we want to sound like, kind of, you know, he knows us enough.
Yeah,
that's exciting. He knows enough to tell us if he thinks it sucks. So that's great. I mean, because it's good to have like a person outside of the band be like, this sounds good or this
isn't working. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and we just like to keep things really easy. You know, 1 to 3 takes. If we don't nail it, we just move on to something else.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever come up, though.
Brian's such a strong skeleton for the band to build on.
I think one time we had it.
Take four.
We didn't use a click on any of the albums or anything. We just kept it open and as real as possible.
Yeah, let the song breathe a little bit, tempo-wise, if it needs to.
We made a video for one of the songs on the album that we're real excited about. And it's just.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned the video, because, Dylan, if you're an illustrator, correct?
Yeah.
Part of the appeal of your band to me is the videos that you create. I look forward to getting the postcards in my mailbox whenever you guys have a show. There's that other side of the equation of being a band that you guys handle really well.
Well, I think, thanks a lot for saying that, but I do a lot of artwork for other bands and stuff. So I do like all the posters for like Andrew WK and Squirrel Nut Zippers and some other kind of bands that, you know, like that are real nice. And I did like some posters for Buckle Up and Bunbury. So I learned a lot from doing that I want to give a consistent message with the band. And also at the same time, I don't like to sample any stuff. I like to draw and create our own images. So, you know, a lot of times I'll use Maya on the cover. You know, I try to give it a cohesive feel for what we're doing, and I think we have a simple, like, stripped-down sound, so I like to keep going with that.
I think the branding that you kind of went with on that with the cover and like the video that ties in to the cover, that like that little
sort of seedy lonely hotel.
One you were talking about, like the colors on it is so cool. When I saw that pop up on my computer, I was like, oh, Dylan, you've outdone yourself. This is really
next
cool
level. Yeah.
What other shows do you have coming up real soon?
We have July 13th at
Northside Tavern.
I don't know, and it's TBA on who's playing.
Yeah, July 13th.
But we love playing there too. I love the stage, and we always do really well there, so I'm always very excited.
Yeah, and I think we have a residency, right?
Yeah, and then we have a residency
in August
at Urban Artifact
every Wednesday.
So, which happens to be the night we would always practice. So I was like, well, and we practice right next door to there. So I was like, I mean, we kind of almost have to do it. Just because we'd be
That'd
doing
be
it
super
anyway.
Lazy to be like, I don't know. Seems like
a
whole thing.
Well, I have to take my amp all the way over
across
next
the street.
Door.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming by. And as we leave, I want to ask you to play another song off the new album. Could you tell me about the song that you're going to play?
Miss Wright is, well, I mean, I play ukulele on it. It's kind of a quieter, more stripped down, but then it has like raw, big points.
Yeah, there's some high emotional points in the song. Yeah. That was one of those ones where you brought it in, and like sometimes a song just comes together. Like, and you start playing it, and then we all just sort of.
I actually didn't think you guys would be that into it. I was like, I got the song. I really like it.
Yeah, you started playing it, and then we just kind of all sort of got on board, and you played through. And by the end of the one pass, it was pretty much a song.
We went back
and did a couple things, but it was like it came together like that.
We recorded it so quickly, too. That I remember Brian was like, I knew the drums differently on this. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Because, yeah.
That was pretty cool. But you played the congas and stuff on there.
Yeah, I did some percussion on it.
Yeah,
it was fun.
That was cute. Yeah.
Well, Maya, Dylan, Andrew, Brian, Kirk, thanks, guys, for coming by and being on Local Exposure. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Always tell me.
Lonely by Heavy Hinges is now available for purchase or download. For links to where you can listen, buy, or just learn more about the band, visit wvxu.org/lx. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and 91.7 WVXU. Today's episode and the live in-studio performances were all recorded and produced by Josh Elstro, with help from me, Jim Nolan. The theme music for this episode is by Scott Holmes and comes from the Free Music Archive. Find out more at freemusicarchive.com. Until next time.